Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. We're back together after a few weeks.
Yay.
How are you doing, Barry? Good to see you.
good to see you, my brother. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Yeah. Good week in Cyprus last week, but very warm, very pleasant weather, and a great week with what I was doing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's and you're going to share a little bit about that tonight, right?
Yeah, we'll start off with that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So what's been going on in your world over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, just fairly quiet. You know, we did have our grandchildren for a week almost, which was exciting and exhausting.
At the same time.
Yes. But we're just enjoying the nice spring weather. It's came a little late in Canada. I saw from your photos from your garden today, just beautiful flowers and everything's looking just wonderful.
Yeah, don't look too closely. It's a lot of green stuff. Whether it's plants or weeds is a debatable point.
Well, green is good.
Well, that's what I think. It's green is good, and it's come out. The flowers have come out very nice, so it's looking good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and you had a couple of weeks with Larry, is that right? The last couple of weeks?
Yes, our dear friend Larry. We just, of course, you know, with Larry, and he's got his flowing ability to go with the flow, and so it was good. And then tomorrow, if I can just plug in, we'll be doing Larry a live stream at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which is 6 p.m.
Yeah.
UK time with Larry and Peter Jackson. So
the
three amigos, as we call ourselves, are going to be going live. So if you're around, you can just find us at on facebook.com/fatherheart.tv or youtube.com/fatherheart. Did you want to mention anything about the YouTube issue right now? Just in case people
obviously they won't be able to see this if they're trying to watch it on YouTube, but it's not streaming today to YouTube. It's only going to Facebook today. No idea why. It's probably because I got a new computer and I haven't made one of the settings right. So this is the first time we've done a webcast with a new machine, and I suspect I've not got a setting right to go to YouTube. But normal service will be resumed in due course. But today, sorry folks, we're just on Facebook, and obviously we'll be on the website tomorrow. So, but for those people who are trying to watch on YouTube, they won't have got any of that message.
Yes. However, the reason I say that is that if you know somebody who typically watches it on YouTube and they have a Facebook account, maybe just send them a message or something to let them know that, because some people might be thinking that it's not on because it's just not streaming to YouTube, but it is a technical glitch. And we've had a couple of those. We're Mark and I are wrapping up 15 years doing this, and on July 9th, we'll be kind of closing that off. And we've had a few technical glitches over the years.
Yeah, we have. I think there's been one only, 15 years. I don't know how many, 15 times 40. That's probably 600 webcasts. Probably only two or three of them we've actually had to sort of shut down due to the complexity of the technicalities. But most of the time we got there in the end, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. Even last week, Larry, he had an appointment till 3 o'clock. And that's when it is for us. When we start, and he was gracious to come on, but he came on just a couple minutes late. And so typically we do a little bit of tech checking and microphones and adjusting cameras beforehand. And so, when Larry came on, I mean, it was like, he was kind of live without any of the checks, but the Lord was gracious and merciful to everyone. And so it worked out great. But of course, the glitches we have these days really pale in comparison to 15 years ago when, even streaming was kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
I think the internet was still trying to figure it out. And so we've come a long way.
Yes, we have. And the quality has improved significantly over those years as well. So
Yeah,
it's good. So
all good.
So just a couple of weeks. We are together for the next couple of weeks. Next week and the week after. Then I'll be off to Uganda for a couple of weeks, which I'm really looking forward to. Mike Hammond's coming with me. I'm going to Mota Mioni in Jinja, doing a few days training the Ugandan team there, which I'm really looking forward to, and then doing a Father Heart encounter for a week. So very much looking forward to that. So that's, I go on the 1st of June. So maybe say a little bit more about that over the next couple of weeks, but that's the plan. And then I'll be leaving Barry on his own again for a couple of weeks.
I'll manage.
Yeah, manage. Of course you will. Yeah.
We will miss you though.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And
and we will be praying for you and Mike as you go. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Can you tell, just for those who might not know the kind of the depth of the history, how long have you been going to Uganda? What is the connection you have there?
Okay. First time I went to Uganda was 1995. That's actually 30 wow. years ago this summer. I went with a team of teenagers from our Christian school. And we went to an orphanage, kind of in the center of Uganda. And for me, that was probably the first time I really saw the tangible expression of the Father's love. You know, the Father,
wow.
a father to the fatherless. You know, the orphanage really, wow. really modeled that. I mean, they did. This was a whole foundation. I mean, I was not kind of aware of the Father's love and, you know, God being a father to me at that point in my life. But this orphanage really modeled that. And I spent the first 3 days just weeping, just seeing the practical expression of God being a father to the fatherless. Went back wow. to that orphanage in 1997 with the family. The whole family came. Our youngest, John, who just had his birthday yesterday. He was 31 yesterday. When he came to Uganda, he was 3.
Wow.
So that was then. And then had a bit of a break. And then 2005, got in touch with, kind of just amazingly, I went out to Uganda with a friend looking at a project she was working on. Fiona and the family came with me. And through a kind of an amazing, I think just a miracle really, met up with Ingrid and Wynette at Mota Mioni in Jinja. And that really began kind of our friendship. And really since 2005, I've been back at least once a year, most years once, a couple of times twice a year. But really since wow. 2005, I've been to Uganda once a year, mainly to Mota Mioni, mainly kind of working with Ingrid and Wynette and the new team that is working alongside Ingrid now. They've got a youth centre. So they've got the main retreat centre, and then about a couple of kilometres down the River Nile, they've got a youth centre where they kind of got more budget accommodation, kind of dormitory accommodation, where they have a lot of young people. And really just bringing them in to ground them in this revelation of God being their father. So really special. And the people are lovely. The retreat center's beautiful, literally on the banks of the River Nile, about 2-3 kilometers from Lake Victoria, where the,
wow.
the river flows out of the lake. There's a dam, hydroelectric dam. And then actually it's my background on my monitor at the moment is the River Nile beginning its journey to Egypt and the Mediterranean.
That's so amazing.
It's a beautiful place, very peaceful, a lot of wildlife, and it's one of the highlights of my year. Yeah, so that'll be 1st of June heading off there.
Wow. Well, we're cheering you on, mate. Thank please you. Say hi to Ingrid for us.
I will do indeed. Yes. Yeah no problem. Yeah. Good. So, shall we get go? I suppose we've already got going, really, haven't we?
I think so.
Yeah. Do you just want to pray for us, Barry? Because we're just really having a kind of open-ended discussion today. So we just want to see where we go. So, yeah.
So, Father, help.
That'll do nicely.
Yeah, so Abba, we just thank you that you love us. Thank you that we're your sons and daughters, and that when you see us, you see us through the lens of a loving father looking at his little kids. And we just ask that as Mark and I just share our hearts on this live stream, and that your presence would lead us, your Holy Spirit would just kind of lead us in the way that you want us to go to talk about the things that are on your heart tonight. And Father, we pray a blessing on everybody who's listening, whether it's live or afterwards, that this next hour would be rich. This would be a time of encouragement and strengthening. And Father, you know what we need before we even ask for it. So you know every need that's represented by the people who are connected to this live stream. And we pray a blessing on each and every one of their lives. I pray that, Father, you would just remind them once again by your Spirit how close you are and how involved you are in their daily lives. Yeah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. Well, I just want to start off by telling you all what I was doing last week. I was in Cyprus. I was at Livingstone's House of Prayer doing a Father Heart encounter. And we had a wonderful week. It was really good. We had about 30 participants. And it was a bit of a first, because normally I do kind of these Father Heart encounters on a residential basis. But this time we wanted to make it accessible to people, bring the cost right down. So we basically started at 9 o'clock in the morning and finished at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it really worked very well. And people from many, many different nations there. Cyprus is a kind of an amazing place. A lot of refugees coming through Cyprus, obviously from the Middle East and round into Africa and so on. So the week was really good, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And the House of Prayer, Livingstone's House of Prayer, they run in, when is it, end of September through October, they kind of run a 5-week, I suppose, school of ministry, for want of a better term. And it's called Closer. And, you know, if you're looking, if maybe this is for someone, I don't know, but if you're just looking to spend a few weeks getting closer to the Father, then I'd really recommend this little school of ministry in Cyprus. It's still very warm in October. It's still up towards the 30 degrees Celsius. So it's very pleasant. But they run this 5-week school of ministry, really to just give people the opportunity to come out of the busyness of their lives and spend 5 weeks, you know, just in a very, very safe environment and just allowing their hearts to be touched. So I will actually be going for the second week of that and doing the teaching on God being a Father to us. So, you know, if anyone's interested, do a Google search on Livingstone's House of Prayer, look at their Closer program, and the information's on their website. But I did something on Saturday afternoon that was, in some ways, one of the hardest things I've actually done, but it was very humbling and actually incredibly special, you know. But at the time, it just felt like one of the more challenging things I've done. There's a church in Larnaca on Cyprus that is really, really working with hundreds of refugees. And Saturday afternoon, we had kind of just a couple of sessions for the refugee community. Now, not many people turned up, which is fine, but there were probably, only 12 or 14 people, but they were probably from 6 or 7 different nations.
Wow.
And their stories were absolutely harrowing. The trauma they've been through is just indescribable and shocking. And yeah, so I just talked about how God is a Father to us, and whatever our experience of love, whatever our experience of our parents, and some of these people, their family stories were just awful, absolutely awful. You know, so I just spoke about God being a Father to us, and I had no idea if I was connecting with them at all, Barry. It was just like is anything going in? You know, I was really kind of struggling to feel, is this making any sense to them? Is this relevant? Is this where they're at? Do they understand me? You know, I was being translated into two different languages. And I thought, oh, I just don't know. I was really struggling. Couldn't get any feedback as I was talking. And I was just like screaming out, you know, in my heart as I was talking. And I was saying, Father, you know, help. And I just felt him say, it's for the one. It's for the one. Mm. You know, which is something we often say. And anyway, at the end of the first session, I just said, I'd like to pray for you. One big guy, really tough guy, he ran straight to the front. And I just put my arms around him, started praying, and he started weeping. I thought, wow, you know. Mm. Then I, you know, heard, the stories were just tragic, you know, totally tragic. And talked about comfort and the Father comforting us in our trauma. And again, just able to pray for people and just get alongside them and just, you know, be there for them. And I was talking to the pastor of the church and I thought, man, this guy, what a job. You know, he's working with these refugees and everybody's a story, you know. And it's like, I talking to this pastor, I thought, what a tender, gentle, loving heart this man has. Mm. Bowled me over. It was totally bowled me over. It was very, very humbling. And he basically said, you know, Mark, you know, that verse in Matthew, why worry about tomorrow? Because today's got enough trouble of its own. He said, you know, that's what my life's like, you know.
Wow.
When I don't know what's going to happen on any day, yeah, because anybody in my church congregation, new people coming all the time, new people coming in from all over the Middle East, all over Africa. I'm not going to name the countries, but, wow, you know, refugees coming all the time. Each of their story, each of their pain, each of their brokenness, each of their loss, you know, each hoping for a chance of a fresh start. And this pastor said, you know, we just respond with love to these people and we care for them as the Father would want us to care for them. And some of the stories he told me were just gutting, heart-wrenching, just, you know. So it was that mixture of emotions, Barry, going through the afternoon, like, is this making sense? And then seeing it was making sense.
Wow.
Humbling to talk to them. But what I came away with and what really struck me, and maybe this is kind of the starting point for our discussion today, is the Father's heart for the poor and needy. The Father's heart for the broken. The Father's heart for the wounded, for the orphans, for the migrants, the immigrants, you know, the homeless. And I was really just kind of blown away thinking, what an amazing Father we have, who is so caring and concerned for these people who have nothing. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, the heart for the poor and needy really kind of landed with me. And it was like, whoa, yeah. And yeah, just coming away thinking, we have a Father who is so compassionate. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Mm. And just to see it and experience it was very, very moving.
Wow. Yeah, I just think of Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, right? A father to the fatherless, and he puts the lonely in families, right?
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, you see that. You know, I've seen that in Uganda. 30 years ago, saw a little bit of that in Cyprus. When I go back in October, there's another ministry on the island that deals with women who have been trafficked. They want me to go and speak.
It's like, wow.
You know, and I just think that's another huge one, isn't it? You know, women who presumably have got very, very little trust of men.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a lot of the abuse in their life has come from their fathers. And so that's kind of, I kind of said yes quickly to that one, Barry, before I thought about it too much.
Now, when you have been in Uganda, the boy soldiers?
The child soldiers, yeah.
Child soldiers, have you ministered to them at all, or?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Trevor's actually done more of that on some of the stuff he's done over there. And obviously Ingrid and Wynette have done that many, many times. But that, again, is just one of those situations you think, how on earth can this happen in the 21st century?
Right.
But the stories, again, the stories I've heard are just absolutely, absolutely horrific. Wow. And you just think, no one should ever have to go through that.
No.
You know, and it must break God's heart when he sees that happening. You know, must do.
Well, I mean, when you think about how God kind of, when he created the human race, and he meant that our fathers and our mothers would be a reflection of his fathering and his mothering to us, right? So especially when it's that parental wounding, it's like the devastation, I think, that must occur in his heart.
Yeah.
That, you know, what he designed that we would be able to know in just a foretaste of his love by being loved by our parents. And when there is that broken trust and abuse and abandonment and all the stuff that happens, it's just like, I feel his heart has to be devastated.
Sure, it must be. And, you know, the fact that we're made in his image, and, you know, it must, you know, that image has been so tarnished and polluted.
Yeah.
And, you know, the representations of parents, particularly that kind of are supposed to stand between us and our Father in heaven, is becoming so distorted and so ugly that we can't see beyond that to who the Father is. And somehow this ugly distortion has to be dealt with, you know, and so that we can see the Father again.
I think of when you hugged that man, the story that man, and you wept, you know, I think like an embrace is, it crosses every language. It's common.
Yeah.
To the human heart, right? It's just that need for that parental loving embrace, right? And so for you to be able to embrace him like that is amazing.
You know, and you just do it, don't you? You've been in situations like that too, Barry, I know. And you just think, I'm going to reach out to these people because that's what the Father does. And you do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I remember one time when I was in, and you probably, you know, the story, but I was talking about, again, the Father's love, and this big Brazilian man was in the second row, and he was glaring at me the whole time during my talk. And like you, I'm thinking like, am I connecting, or is he, you know, but with him, I was like, he was looking like he was angry. And I was like, what am I saying that's triggering him? Yeah. And I wanted to kind of avoid him after the meeting, because I thought maybe he's mad at me for something. And then of course what happens is wife grabs my arm and drags me to her husband, which is this big man. And you know, he through a translator, cause he spoke Portuguese. I heard his story and how, when he was a little boy, his father sent him away from the house to the servants' quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he said, "You're no longer my son." And he had a brother who stayed with his father. And he lived in the servants' quarters for the rest of the time he was at home. And when I was speaking about that, just the love of a father, that so triggered him.
Yeah.
That, and he wasn't angry at me, but it just awakened all the pain of not being loved. And he never understood why his father did that. And then, of course, at the end, you're this big guy. I was able to encourage him to give me a hug like he'd hug a father. And of course he was like four times my size, so I just kind of got swallowed up in his embrace. But you know, again, it's those moments when you can just just hug somebody and just pray that the Father's love would just fill their hearts. Yeah. So, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it was a very incredible time. And, you know, I think their planned intention had been maybe there would be 50, 60 people there, but 12, 14. And I just think, you know, that's okay. It's it's for the one. It's for the one.
Yeah.
And there was one lady, four beautiful African lady, four young children. And, you know, I prayed for her as we were praying for everybody. But then at the end, I hear that her husband had died last year, very, very tragically. They moved to Cyprus. He then dies and she's left with four young kids. And it was the children, the eldest was a daughter, then a son, and then two more daughters, which is exactly the same as our family. I've got an older sister, two younger sisters. My dad died when I was 10. And I didn't intend to tell my story. You know, it wasn't kind of part of the plan of my notes or where I was going. You know, but somehow, in the middle of one session, I started to tell my story. You know, my dad dying, my mum with four kids, and, you know, and then I talked to this lady, or this lady talked to me afterwards, and she said, "You've given me hope. You've given me hope."
Oh, boy.
Because just telling her how my mum coped and how my mum responded and a bit of my mum's journey through the whole process, I don't talk about normally. It's normally my reaction. But this time I just kind of got into my mum's journey, my mum's reaction, and this lady said, "I've got hope." You know, and
I thought, wow.
Isn't that amazing? You know, just little things like that. Big things like that. Yeah. So it was a very, I was exhausted by the end of that afternoon, as you can imagine. But very, you know, special, very humbling, very privileged in a way to be there, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit about Cyprus. One of the other things that really struck me out of it, I think out of last week generally and meeting the refugee community, is, you know, once again, just seeing the impact of fear on people's lives. Because obviously there's a lot of fear in the refugee community. Obviously, what's going to happen to them? Where are they going to go? How are they going to be treated? And so on. And they've obviously left very difficult situations and homes and their home countries. And a lot of fear. And it really just struck me again, even going through some of the sessions last week in the Father Heart Encounter, perfect love casts out fear. You know, and a fearful heart is an empty heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a heart needs when it's got fear in it is just love. And, you know, I really could see again how fear is the opposite of love. And how in the fall in the garden, we stepped out of the kingdom of love into the kingdom of fear. You know, what was Adam's response? I was afraid.
I was afraid, yeah.
So I hid. You know, shame and fear, I hid. And it's just like, yeah, stepped out of this kingdom of love into the kingdom of fear. And what Jesus is doing is inviting us back into that kingdom of love.
Yeah.
And perfect love drives out all fear. And, you know, we're invited back into this place of being loved, so that the emptiness that we've experienced, you know, can be dealt with as we are filled up with love. You know, Romans 5:5, God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And how that gives us hope. You know, a fearful heart really has no hope. It's kind of just devoid of hope. It's desperate. It's despairing. But yet when we are filled, when our hearts are filled with love, you know, we begin to hope again.
Yeah.
And we can, and just that sense of you know, we don't have to live in fear. And so for, even for so many Christians, you know, fear is such an abiding presence in their life. You know, the fear of man, fear of, you know, where's the money coming from, fear for health, fear for the future, you know, fear paralyzes us and holds us in a prison. And, you know, really just encouraging people to bring their fear to the Father and say, Father, would you just love me so much that I'm so secure with you? You know, it's like Jesus said, you know, hey, the birds don't have any worries. The plants don't have any worries. You know, see how the Father looks after them. How much more will he look after you? And just coming to that place of really having a security in him that fear goes.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you quote 1 John 4:18, that's perfect love drives out fear, casts out fear. It's the same Greek word where Jesus cast out devils.
Yes.
So it's a love that doesn't come alongside fear and say, hey, fear, let's negotiate. Let's have a conversation. It's like with the overwhelming presence of the love of God, fear is driven away, just like Jesus cast out devils. So, you know, and of course we both talk about this and of course we need to apply it to our own lives as well. But it's just like when fear comes, it's not like we have to deal with fear ourselves. All we really need to do is just open our hearts for the love of the Father to just fill us afresh and just let the love of God deal with fear. And then the love of God, I've had, and of course you've had as well, many different expressions of the love of God, the comforting love and the encouraging love, the nurturing love, the providing love. There are all those kinds of expressions, but there is a ferocious love of God that protects his kids.
Yes.
And of course, if you're a mother or a father or a grandparent, you know that, you know, if, you know, somebody wanted to slap me across the face, I pray I'd have the grace to turn the other cheek. But, you know, all bets are off with my kids and grandkids, right? And there is this protective parental love that just kicks in. And how much more does the Father, in his great love for all of us, just want to protect us from fear? Because fear is just... it's just God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So that is just, And I can't imagine the sense of fear that you were sensing around you in that community, the migrant community, with so many variables, happening in their lives and really no guarantee of a tomorrow or what that looks like.
Yeah, and I think that was probably part of the reason I was finding it hard to engage, is because if they've been through so much trauma and they got so much fear, they're not going to open themselves up to a stranger. It takes a long time to build up trust. But yet, building up trust between, you know, one another takes a long time. But actually, the Father can do it supernaturally. You know, he can just come to people and meet them at their place of need. So, that sense of God's care, God's protection, God's provision for all of us, and I guess this is part of the journey of sonship, isn't it, Barry, that the more we live in love, the more we walk as Jesus walked. Love and fear can't exist together. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you watching live or watching catch up, you know, fear is a big issue for you. And I just want you to take those words, perfect love casts out all fear. And just begin to believe and then begin to receive, you know, what the Father wants to do. Because, you know, I really believe as he pours his love into our hearts, you know, it's at least my experience is, you know, if I allow myself to be loved and if I allow myself, put myself in the position of receiving his love, I don't have to be proactive about dealing with the fear. Mm-hmm. Because his love coming into my heart, it's his love that drives out fear. Yeah. It's not my actions. It's not my belief. It's not my behavior. It's his love is the driving force. So, you know, if any of you are really struggling with this sense of fear that's overwhelming you, and fear does overwhelm us, fear paralyzes us. You know, if this is a struggle for you, I would just say, just make it your prayer to say, Father, pour your love into my heart. And go on soaking yourself in his love, so that that is the thing that drives his, drives the fear out of you, your heart. Yeah, don't be paralyzed by it.
I think of, I think it's Exodus. It says God is saying to Israel, and they're facing, I don't know what enemy, but one of the enemies that was bigger, badder, more intimidating than them. And he said, you only need to be still and I will fight for you. Yes. And one of the translations says, you only need to be at peace. You know, and I think what that the Father is just inviting each and every one of us, he understands our circumstances. He knows what you're going through. And it's not like, I don't believe that he, you know, the Bible says he's close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He understands, you know, he's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And the Latin word for compassion is compassio, which means, one of the meanings is to suffer together.
Yeah.
So even in our darkest moment in, you know, David in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of a death, I will fear no evil. You know, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so, you know, my prayer, and I know we'll probably transition at some point into a prayer, but is that if we are in a place, and God understands, and, you know, and I don't know how many times in the Bible, I've heard somebody say that God said, do not fear 365 times. I'm not sure about that, but he said it a lot.
He did.
You know, and he's, it, and I believe it's because there's things to be afraid of. And so I think that God wants to calm our anxious hearts, our fearful hearts. And if you are in an extreme situation, like Mark even experienced last week, I mean, God understands, and he is the father to the fatherless, and he does put the lonely in families. And so, you know, we just want to agree with you in whatever your circumstance, in that, you know, Paul the Apostle in Romans 8:35-39 came to this revelation that I am convinced that nothing in all creation can ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he went on to try to name things that would try to separate us. Life can't, death can't, angels can't, the demons can't, the present can't, the future can't. And so, you know, my prayer for all of us is that that would be that convincing that Paul experienced, that persuading, would become an experiential reality for each one of us.
And Jesus said at the end of John 16, you know, my peace I give you. And then he says, hey, don't worry. It's one of the most wonderful statements in the Bible, I think. Don't worry. In this world, you will have trouble. But I've overcome the world. You know, the first part of that verse might not be very encouraging. Hey, in this world, you will have trouble, but don't worry, I've overcome. And that's, you know, he's done what we couldn't, he's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances you're facing, he is the overcomer. And, you know, we can struggle and strive to try and overcome, but actually when we rest in his overcoming, you know, that's what brings peace to our heart. So if you're, and I'm sure many people are struggling with real, real struggles. Just give them to him because he's overcome. It's easy to say, it's not easy to do, but he is the overcomer. And so, let's just pray for a few minutes, Barry, and just see what the Father wants to say. And, you know, if anything that we've said today in this conversation, you know, just if it lands, take it, and just let the Father do whatever he wants to do. Just offer that. Yeah, just bring that fear. Bring those fears to him. Mm-hmm. They don't have any place in your heart. They don't belong in your heart. And let his love come.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you, Father.
Mm.
Father, thank you that you sent Jesus
mm-hmm.
to bring us back home. And that each one of us can have the assurance and the knowledge that our lives are safe, hidden mm-hmm. in you. That you lift us up onto a rock above our enemies. You lift us up to a high place. Father, thank you that Jesus is the great overcomer. He's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to find that place of rest and peace in him.
Yes,
today, Lord. And not let these circumstances, not let these situations overwhelm us. But just rest in who we are as sons and daughters. Yeah, thank you, Father.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Wow. Father, there might be somebody out there that needs to hear the words that the Israelites needed to hear when they were facing insurmountable enemies, when God said, you only need to be still, you only need to be at peace, and I will fight for you. Mm-hmm. If you are facing giants in your own life, in your circumstances, that you feel like you in the natural, it's just not possible. But we serve and live in a loving relationship with a Father who just promises to rescue us and to save us and fight for us. And so, Father, I pray just by the power of your Holy Spirit that even now, anybody who is struggling with any circumstance, and of course, as Mark said, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Mm-hmm. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. So, Father, I just pray right now for your reassuring love to come.
Yeah.
Your comforting love, your tender-hearted love, the compassionate love, Father, where you actually enter into our sufferings alongside us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abba.
Thank you for your comforting love, Father.
Wow.
That comfort that lifts the trauma and the loss out of our lives.
Yeah.
And brings us to that place of quiet.
Yes, Dad.
Satisfaction and relief from distress and affliction. And so, Father, just let your comforting love go deep into our hearts.
Wow. Hmm. Yeah. I'm reminded of the story with Elisha and his servant when an entire army came to arrest Elisha, and Elisha's response to his servant was, "Those who are for us are more than those who are against us." And then just to reassure his servant's heart, he prayed a prayer for his servant and was, "Lord, open his eyes." Mm-hmm. And when the servant's eyes opened, he saw that there were chariots of fire throughout the mountains surrounding this army. Father, would you open our eyes today? Mm-hmm. The eyes of our heart, would you flood our hearts with light? By your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we might know the hope of our calling and the glorious inheritance we have together with all the saints. Father, that we would know that there is nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, would that reassuring love come? Would the love that would just drive out fear come? that your love would just calm every anxious heart, Father. Still every condemning thought that anybody might be struggling with, even in this very moment. I just pray, Father, that you would give perfect peace to those whose minds are fixed on you, because we trust in you. Yeah. A peace that passes understanding, Father, that would guard our hearts and our minds, even in this very moment. Yeah. Pray for a supernatural impartation of your peace to blanket every circumstance in Jesus' name. Yeah. Wow.
Father, we don't want to be slaves to fear.
Yeah.
We don't want that fear to overwhelm us and hold us in a place of despair and hopelessness. But we want your love to come and to be the driving out force that drives that fear out. So, Father, we just ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
The power of your love to fill our hearts and drive fear away. Father, we just want to acknowledge and hold up those fears to you and ask you to deal with them and take them away. Thank you, Father, that love and fear cannot exist together. But when love comes, fear has to go. And I just ask, Father, for many, many people who are watching this.
Yes, Lord.
That the fear that has taken up a home in their heart would be driven out.
Yeah.
And there would be a security that comes of knowing that we're sons and daughters. And you are being a father to us. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Dad. Wow. Thank you, Abba.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll be back next week, same time, same place. If you want more of this, more of whatever, join Barry tomorrow with Peter and Larry, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock UK time, 7 o'clock European time. But we'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. Bless you.
Same place. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.